Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now it's raining again. Heavy. Now people can't vote.
Oh, big rain here.
They're going to be disenfranchised. I'm looking at the radar. It's a big band coming across a lot of Southern California.
I can't vote. I might get wet.
Well, either that or hanging out in a wash. You got to be careful what you're doing.
I might get wet. Then what's going to happen?
It's a deterrent.
Then I'll have to dry myself.
We're a place that doesn't get rain all that often, so people make a big deal of it. It's very exciting.
I'm glad we didn't have this crowd when it came time to defeat the British. Jesus.
Wow, a British Revolutionary War reference.
But seriously.
What about Hitler and the Germans? You could have.
That was a tough crowd. We wouldn't have been able to beat them either.
The Japanese.
With the Japanese, that's right. We'd lose to everybody. We'd lose to the French.
We have a voter guide if you still haven't voted.
I'm going to get wet.
Mailed in your ballot. So you can check it out at KFIAM640.com. We're going to talk to somebody on our voter guide is running for state controller. Republican Lonnie Chen is going to join us. We talked to him before the primary back in June. And if he does win, he would be the first Republican to hold a statewide office position since Schwarzenegger left as governor in January of 2011.
The controller is the chief fiscal officer for the state. So let's get Lanhee Chen on the line. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Yeah, good to have you on again. So how are you feeling? I imagine it's really nerve-wracking, huh? It's 3 o'clock on election day. It's hours before the votes come in, and then the voting, they may be counting these votes for a week or a month or something. So what's it like being a guy waiting to see what happens?
Well, that's the thing. It's like you feel like there's so much that's out of your control. And at the same time, it's like you spent last 16 months or whatever trying to do everything you can. And now you realize, it's kind of the results out of your hands. So it is a little bit nerve wracking. But at the same time, look, I feel like we've run a campaign that we wanted to run. We focused on all of the challenges we have as a state, the fact that we can't manage our money well, the fact that we keep sending good money after bad. And I think people want transparency and accountability. That's what I stand for. And so I'm hopeful, but at this point, it's like all I can do is sit here and, stare at my watch, I guess.
Tell people what a controller does and why your philosophy would be better than your opponent's. Like, what is it that you're looking to do? Because we still got 5 hours worth of voting left. And people, I know your race, your race is one of those races people are going to look at and say, I don't know these people. I don't know what a controller even does. So tell them what it is that you would do and do differently.
Well, the controller's job fundamentally is to ensure we have accountability for every single dollar we spend as a state. And interestingly enough, California is actually the only state where we cannot get access to our state's checkbook, so to speak. We can't go online and figure out how they spend the money. Even in Illinois, where they've got some former governors sitting in prison, they actually have more transparency than we have here. So the controller really is the person who can make sure that we answer questions like, where's all that money on homelessness going? Where's all the money for our public schools actually going? Why did we send $30 billion in money to fraudsters in the unemployment insurance program? So this is really kind of, think of this as like our chief watchdog of our tax dollars. And how am I be different from my opponent? Well, the answer is pretty simple there. You know, she's part of the establishment. She's part of the same one-party monopoly that runs Sacramento. She's not interested really in giving us accountability. She's kind of interested in collaborating and rubber stamping whatever the other folks there do. And so I think it's that independence. I think it's my background as somebody who spent time in policy, but also in business and academics. I think I've got a background. I'm coming at this from the perspective of someone who understands finance, who understands why it is that we have all this inflation going on now. I just think that the difference in our backgrounds and how we're situated, that's the biggest advantage I have going into this. And it's why every single newspaper in the state of California, every single one endorsed me. Not happened for a Republican in like 50 years. So I think the contrast is clear.
Yeah, you got the Times endorsement along with the Howard Jarvis taxpayers endorsement, which means something to us and our listeners. I think you also look at this as it's not really a partisan position. As controller, you're a watchdog for the taxpayers, and that's people of all parties and persuasions, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I don't think you should approach this job ideologically. And by the way, that's another point of differentiation between me and my opponent. She comes at this from the perspective of how do we make the controller's office more ideological? I think how do we make the controller's office more competent? And that's really my focus. And so, yeah, it's not a partisan thing, and I haven't approached it as that. But at the end of the day, I think you do want a controller whose interests are independent from the party in power. I think it's important that you have somebody that's got a record of being able to look past party and just solve problems. And that's what I think I bring.
Let's talk about, just as an example, the unemployment payments that went out, the $30 billion in fraud,
yeah.
Right? For that EDD, the Employment Development Department. It's a terrible name for it. Really, it's the unemployment office. And during COVID, they sent out hundreds of billions of dollars, massive fraud. We've heard the story. If you were controller at the time, what could you have done? Could you have done anything to stop it or done something to alert the state in the middle of it happening, something to prevent it? What kind of power, what kind of effect could you have had?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the first thing we should have done is to throw up some red flags when we saw that there were payments going out of state, for example, that you had applications coming in from out of state, out of the country, even. I mean, we now know some of that money went to Russia and China. And you would think that the state would be able to flag, for example, hey, you know, here's an application for benefits that's coming from out of state. Or, you know, here's another one, guys, coming from state prison. We ought to be able to figure out, like, what the address for San Quentin is. And maybe put like a red flag in the system, like, oh, hey, the guy's applying for benefits from San Quentin. Maybe that's a problem. So I think the most important thing, first of all, is, yes, at the time, we should have been able to have the technology in place to at least cause us to ask questions. I mean, I get it. It's a pandemic. People need their benefits, whatever. I mean, I think that's all important stuff. But at the end of the day, it's the job of the controller to take a look at this and say, you know what? We've got to make sure we've got some systems in place to protect taxpayers, too. It's not all about just getting the benefits out of the door as quickly as we can. So the first thing is, I think, a technology issue. But the second thing is just willing to be able to call out the governor. I think the one challenge that we had during the pandemic is that nobody was ever willing to ask Gavin Newsom, like, hey, are you sure about this? Are we sure this is the right policy prescription for right now? Nobody was ever there in a position to ask those questions. And I think just having the bully pulpit, being able to ask those questions and be critical and saying, listen, what are the results we're getting for this? That certainly could have happened during the process. And at the very least, people could have been aware of the problem well before we were actually aware of it. And by the time we all did know that all this money had gone out the door, it was too late. The money was out the door. We're not getting it back. So while we'd like to think we can go claw some of that money back, the reality is we can't. It's gone. And so you have to be more vigilant when the money's going out the door. And that applies not just to the EDD program, but to lots of other programs as well.
What kind of power would you have in this office besides issuing reports or doing audits?
Well, I do think the audit power is important because it does allow you really to get in there and dig and see what's happening. But beyond that, the controller has a couple of extraordinary powers as well. First of all, you do have the ability, if there is spending happening that's illegal or spending that's happening in violation of state law, the controller can actually decline to make a payment. I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, the legislature, you know, they're supposed to produce a balanced budget, and they didn't actually produce a balanced budget. So the controller said, hey, listen, legislators, until you produce a balanced budget, I'm not paying you. I'm not paying your salary. And that got them in line real quick. Within about a week, miraculously, they produced a balanced budget. So the controller does have the ability to go in and actually say, okay, if something is happening in contravention of state law, or if there's some practice that's just shady, the controller can say, hey, wait a second, guys, before I cut this check, I want some questions answered. Now, you can't do it all the time. You can't do it with everything. You can't just decide, hey, I don't feel like spending money on this. But you can use the power of the office in a way to protect taxpayers to make sure we're getting our money's worth. And I think that those are important things.
Well, I voted for you today, and I hope everybody who hasn't voted yet will vote for you for California Comptroller. It's Lan He Chen, and we wish you the best of luck. I hope you win.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks
a lot. On the voter guide, that's right. And again, it's something, but there are no Republicans in statewide office, and it hasn't been for years. So if Lan He Chen does pull out the controllers, at least somebody's there that might have a little different point of view, particularly protecting the taxpayers and all the ridiculous spending and fraud.
Right. Diversity.
We do need diversity. You can win some money when we return. We have another keyword. That's the Cash Inflation Bonus Contest on KFI. AM 640, KFI, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. All right, some polls will close in a couple of states, 4 o'clock our time. These are states with some close races for the Senate or governor or something. We'll give you any results on that begin to come in. As for California, the polls don't close until 8. And we may not know things, especially in tight races like the mayor's race, for weeks.
There's already results coming in from Indiana.
Okay.
Nothing important, but
I don't remember Indiana being in the mix as an important state.
No. House races.
Oh, great.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, that's very big. If the Republicans don't take control of the House, though, that would be a shocker of the night. Senate is still kind of a question.
No, it's impossible for the Republicans not to win the House.
It is
especially
impossible
after seeing the exit polls. Woo. Woo.
And the chart I saw last night says it all. They went back 20 years. Presidents, midterm, their approval rating, what happened with the House? Mm-hmm. And every time an approval rating like 40%, they lose a bunch of House seats.
Yeah. You got to take it again. Got to take it out on somebody.
It is not different this time. It is not different this time, reporters at the El Segundo Times, because of abortion or the attack on Paul Pelosi and the attack on democracy of January 6th. It is not. And most of the exit polls are saying people are worked up over inflation, the economy in general.
Yeah.
That's what usually wins out.
Yeah, you know, that is true of the Republicans and the independents. And there is just as many independents in the country as the two parties. But, you know, I've seen these polls fly by, but among Democratic voters themselves, the two big worries for them are abortion and guns and democracy. And inflation was down at 15% of being a prime issue. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, don't these people pay bills? aren't they paying that's right, the Democrats in this state, you're paying $6 a gallon. I don't understand. They're so passionate for these Democrats, which means they think these people have a lot of power. Yet look at the condition of Los Angeles with massive amount of homelessness, huge increase in crime, gas at $6 a gallon. Well, you're so revved up for these guys, you must think they matter, right? Otherwise, why would you care so much? Well, then look at the report card. Look at the measuring stick here. It's a disaster. Why do you keep voting for them again? I don't understand. But that's, to me, that's a cult. It's a religion. It's a cult when you no longer accept objective evidence that's right in front of your eyes.
If Rick Caruso wins the L.A. mayor's race, people have finally woken up. The other thing that helped is that he had a lot of money to really incredibly raise his name recognition. That also works.
Yeah, I know, but isn't that crazy that you'd actually have to spend $100 million
to get people aware of what you want to do.
To win a bare majority when the conditions are what they are. It would be different if everything was normal, right?
Yeah.
If things were like they were even 10 years ago. But the conditions are really bad out there, and everybody says they're bad. And there was another story in the New York Times this morning about how in Los Angeles, everybody's in a really foul mood. Well, if everybody's in a really foul mood for the obvious reasons, then why isn't there going to be a massive change? Then why is everybody even bothering to vote if you're going to vote for the same tired, corrupt characters? that created this mess. It's their policies that directly created this mess in Los Angeles.
What I love on the national level is like nothing seems to matter because somebody wins the presidency and 2 years later, almost without fail at the midterms, they lose control of the House, Senate, whatever, because people always turn on the incumbent. The nation's never happy. It's always going the wrong way.
No. No, and then there's
because
only...
they're all just a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, they are.
And you know what? They don't really control the economy as much as you think we do, collectively speaking. We do, and you just can't really predict where that's going to go. Although I do think you're right. Biden definitely overspent. They handed out... Trump handed out money, too, during
yes.
his last
yeah,
year.
He did. He did. And then Biden handed out more money.
Did you see some of the deficit spending when Trump was president, how much in the red we were?
That was the thing I disliked the most about him. He managed it the way he managed his casinos.
Right. Always on the brink of bankruptcy. And
in fact, if I remember, I think he wondered out loud if the country could declare bankruptcy and just get out from under all the debts.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure he brought that up one day because I remember reading that everybody was aghast. It's like, no, you can't do that. That would like send all the world markets into a panic.
Well, he voted today. He voted for Ron DeSantis for Florida governor. You may forget that Trump actually votes in Florida. And supposedly in about a week, there'll be an announcement if he's running for president.
They had to talk him out of announcing it today or yesterday.
Today, I heard about that, yeah.
He wanted to do that. He wanted to preempt the election coverage.
Well, then clearly he's running because otherwise there wouldn't be much of an announcement.
No, he's going to run. He's going to run. And he's trying to intimidate DeSantis from
He wants DeSantis not to run.
Yeah.
So...
Because he's afraid of DeSantis. You notice he didn't care about the other guys. He ran against 16, 17 guys last time. He didn't tell any of them not to run. DeSantis, he's telling him not to run because he's most afraid of him.
Well, they've kind of been allies in the past. And there's a similarity in terms of what they talk about and what they believe. There's just temperaments different.
I know. But there's only one job.
There is only one job. And there are people that said that it could be really ugly primary fight if they do run, because Trump always has that 30% of Republicans that just, you know, they're sworn to him.
Yeah.
No, and they're going to make this ugly. And
again, he's created a religion. He's created his version of a political religious cult.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe he should just retire. And
yeah, I think everybody over 75 off the stage.
Yeah, Politico did a funny story. Well, it was about Trump and DeSantis, but it was also about as Biden continues to slip, particularly people are seeing it on the campaign trail in the last few weeks. We're actually going to play a couple of clips later in the show of more Biden oomphs. And it's everyone's thinking about 2024 in the inner White House circle. It's all they're discussing is what's the opening? When does he step out? If the Democrats lose control of the House and Senate, Biden may decide late next year. That's it. He's not running.
Nobody cares about the condition of the country.
They don't. It's all about their future political. No.
Everybody's been babbling about this midterm election for over a year, and then tomorrow starts the prattling about the presidential election in 2 years.
Yes, exactly.
But the actual state, it's like the state of the city, the state of the state, the nation. Nobody cares. Just it's all maneuvering for power.
All right, when we come back, we have a few minutes to bring you up to date on the Harvey Weinstein trial.
Oh, jeez.
That's been going on.
Yeah.
Apparently we had some rather lurid testimony in court from one of the accusers about Harvey's genitalia.
More testicle talk.
It looked like it had been chopped off and sewn back on, according to one witness. But the other point that the defense is trying to make, which is worth spending a few minutes on, these accusers came back around, got in touch with Harvey Weinstein after the alleged sex assaults.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Yeah. And everybody's trying to spin that. All right.
More coming up. Johnny Ken, KFI.
Deborah finds it very funny when you said chopped off and sewn back on.
Oh, that's very sexy. That image is just wow.
It must have been. It must have been a sight. Fox News exit poll says 57% of voters say that Biden does not have the mental capability to serve effectively.
All voters, huh?
57% of all voters, yes.
Wow. It's a bipartisan.
It's a bipartisan opinion. Agreement. That's a landslide.
Oh, you're right. It's almost 60%.
It's a landslide. Americans think he's lost his mind. It's not coming back.
And apparently the Russians are hoping the Republicans win because they want everybody at their throats in Washington, D.C. with the split between the White House and Congress. They think, well, they'll all be tearing each other apart. So they're rooting for that, too. Apparently they just admitted that they did interfere in U.S. elections. But
I don't know how, though. Nobody ever explains how.
Facebook ads. They told you that.
So what?
They put out a lot of those ads that made people think that Hillary Clinton
Is that interference?
Part of Pizzagate or that, what's that?
Is that really
interference? No, it's not really interference. That's more spam and nonsense.
There's like 11 million ads running
No, when they figure out how to hack the voting machines, then it's interference.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. No, I'm looking for that they change the votes, not that they ran more ads.
Nice.
Because with all the millions of ads running, how would you notice a few thousand more?
All right, well, it's another day in the trial of Harvey Weinstein. The former big Hollywood producer, movie executive, was convicted in New York of sex assault charges, faces a long prison term there, but they dragged him out here to face four Jane Does. We do know that Jane Doe number four is the wife of Gavin Newsom, Jennifer Seibel. She's not on the stand yet. What we have still going on, it looks like, is Jane Doe number two. And apparently, her testimony this week, it was yesterday. Well, we knew this was going to happen. The accusers were going to be asked specifics about the body of the man that they say sexually assaulted them. And this part isn't a shock because we knew this already, that his genitalia is deformed. Jane Doe number two did say it was disgusting, and it looked like it had been chopped off and sewn back on. I really didn't see a full sack. I literally
did she say that, a full sack?
I just saw a penis. Now, we've told you before that his testicles were implanted into his thigh.
Reassigned.
Reassigned. Relocated.
Relocated. It was the testicle relocation
witness
program.
Protection. So the prosecutor did this. He wants the jury to know that these women did see this man naked, at least, and they can talk about his abnormalities.
Right.
And that's what they're doing.
Well, that...
Again, because of an infection, that's why they ended up in his thigh. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the prosecutor told the jury that in the opening statements.
They don't know how he got that infection, huh?
No.
To get an infection where they have to remove your testicles and then put them in your thigh. Like, what exactly? Because I want to know not to get that.
They have to separate them.
I mean, that sounds like gangrene. Yeah, I mean, when they have to separate your testicles from your penis.
The rest of your penis.
It's like, well, geez, who are you sleeping with?
What I found amazing about this witness, Jane Doe number two, she said she was sexually assaulted at the Montage Hotel in Beverly Hills, now called the Mayborn, almost 10 years ago, February 2013. She and another woman named Claudia Salinas met Weinstein at the hotel to talk about a script. At some point during the meeting, she follows Weinstein into a hotel room which she thought was a conference room. Salinas closes the door and disappears. Jane Doe number two said, I thought that was my new friend, but she's gone already.
I thought that was my new friend. Oh, she's left me alone with Harvey Weinstein.
But what happened next is priceless. She couldn't believe how fast Weinstein took off his clothes. And suddenly I'm looking at this big guy naked. So I laughed nervously and thought, no, this can't be happening kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Weinstein's response was, this is what actresses do. This is how I know you can act. If you perform for me.
If you could feign passion for this.
So he begins touching her. She's still dressed.
If you could pretend you love my obese body with my deformed testicles.
And I think what happens with his, he starts touching her and she kind of resists. So then he just pleasures himself into a towel. That seems to be what he does.
Or a potted plant.
Kind of squinting. Oh, that was somebody else, wasn't it?
That was a woman in New York, yeah.
Oh, Weinstein did the potted plant?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that story, but it was so long ago, I couldn't remember who the person was.
He was all worked up and frustrated and finally left it in the potted plant. Plant immediately died.
She doesn't think his hand ever touched her in any of her private parts. He did it into the towel and left. She couldn't believe it. I called my friends, got a hold of them. I messaged them. And she drew a picture of his private parts for LAPD, which were displayed on a screen in court for jurors to see. God. That's nice.
Is it worth being an actress to deal with this?
Now, the defense side of this is trying to get these women to talk about, not all of them, but some of them, why they kept in touch with Weinstein after the alleged assault. The question goes to, well, what really happened? And did you get over it? And what's the deal here if you continued to communicate with your sex assault, your rapist? What is that about? Well, one of them said that she thought it was a chance to confront him years later. And that's the one, by the way, who said that it happened again after she went to confront him. Instead, he made a move on her. He pleasured himself again in front of her without her consent.
Yeah. You really think that he cares if you confront him?
He really had no control, though? Or because he got away with this for so long, it was just a routine to him. Just kind of amazing.
I mean,
they put a woman in a room and close her off in like 10 seconds, and he's already grabbing her and grabbing himself, and there's no lead up.
No, it is some sort of weird psycho-compulsion he has. Yeah. Like he's just got no restraint at all. And these women are just so trusting, and they'll even go back to him. It's people really find each other, don't they?
And that's how powerful men, because people think, well, somebody with this much money and power in Hollywood wouldn't dare just be a common rapist. I must be interpreting this wrong.
But think about it. If you and I, when we were starting out, right, we had an offer of a big job, let's say in Los Angeles, we met the program director and he said, oh, come up to my hotel room. And he suddenly like dropped his pants and started massaging himself and making a run at us.
I would laugh first. But
yeah.
Sorry. That's what guys do. You got to be kidding me.
Would we come back in a month?
Well, she laughed too when Weinstein took off his clothes. Like, is this candid camera?
I don't know. I'm skeptical of some women sometimes about this stuff.
Right, but and apparently in the New York trial, they brought up the same thing, and it didn't matter. He was still convicted.
You know what? He's one of these guys that there should be some kind of torture for him while he's in prison. Not just sitting in prison, but
we should have
something horrible that he could suffer every day.
Huh.
Like, death is too good for him.
No, he's not in good shape. He's only 70, and he's 90 already, so I don't know how much longer he's going to be able to hang on. All right, we got more coming up.
Did the other prisoners make fun of him over his
deformity?
His reassignment?
They might.
The relocation?
It's very unusual. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, polls are going to start closing more than they have. A couple of states partially closed their polls this hour. We'll talk about the latest election results in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll have another chance at some money. There's a keyword that you need to obtain, and you need to find out how to enter it for your chance to win some money coming up around 4:20 on the John and Ken Show. Yesterday, we had mentioned that the Houston Astros had a World Series victory parade, and during that parade, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz got hit. Well, at the time, we thought it was beer. Hard seltzer, and the cans were full.
Oh, it was full.
One can missed him. The other one did hit him in the forearm, we have learned.
Ah, I see.
He did not need any treatment. There was no real injury.
Well, he needs treatment, but
the man who threw the cans is Joseph Arcida Diacono, 33 years old. He made his court appearance today. Bond of $40,000. Public defender was arguing that the aluminum cans did not meet the requirements to be considered deadly weapons, but as I mentioned, they were full.
No, you could kill somebody. You throw it hard enough.
Well, isn't that why when you're in stadiums, they sometimes open the cans for you so that they're not full? And
well, yeah, you can't bring in full water
bottles.
Right,
but even if you buy a canned beverage, they open it.
Yeah, right.
So that if you try to hurl it, some of the content, I guess, would fall out.
Yeah.
So it's not a full-blown heavy weapon.
Is that a heftier charge because he's a U.S. senator? Yeah, assault,
I don't know.
Deadly assault on a federal official?
The story I'm looking at doesn't say that specifically.
Because the guy who whacked Paul Pelosi with a hammer got a special extra charge because it was a family member of a...
federal official.
Yeah.
Politician. He's got a GPS. He has to stay 1,000 feet away from Ted Cruz at work and at home and avoid making any threats against him.
How many of those hard seltzers did he have?
He's got a nose piercing. I'm looking at his mugshot.
A nose piercing.
He does. Got a little ring to his nose, his left nostril.
I know. What weird little decorative quirk makes you judge somebody the quickest?
Decorative quirk.
There's a lot of weird stuff that people are now displaying in public. What's the one thing, if you see that, it's like you don't think good thoughts?
Huh. I don't know. What's yours?
To me, it's nose rings that goes through the septum, you know, the middle part of the nose.
Yeah, this one's not the middle. This is the side nostril.
Yeah, I can't look at that. It grosses me out. All I could think of, especially if it's a waiter or waitress, and they're talking food, and all I could think of, how much snot builds up on that thing during the day? Like if you sneeze, I mean, doesn't that... It really grosses me out. Yeah, something in the ear, you know, I can take.
He has admitted that he was an idiot and he's sorry, is all he said, apparently.
And he was drunk.
Ted Cruz fired back, thanking for the police response, and also saying... I should be glad that this clown who threw his white claw had a noodle for an arm. As I guess the impact.
Oh, that's the brand White Claw?
Yes, White Claw is hard seltzer.
I saw that headline and I thought somebody else had thrown something at Cruz.
No, it's White Claw.
They were throwing body parts. I'm not up on hard seltzer.
And another great story today comes from, oh, where else but Florida. Apparently at a TSA checkpoint in Florida, this is the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport, and we always mock TSA agents because they probably missed a lot of dangerous stuff going through the screening devices, but they pulled a bag off the line, and they wanted to take a closer look. What was inside was a raw chicken. Well, that wasn't it. Inside the raw chicken was a gun.
Nice try.
Somebody tried to smuggle a gun through the baggage screening station inside a raw chicken. The problem with that is the chicken's going to get attention, right? I think they put it in a plastic bag, but I guess whoever saw the outline of it just thought it was too unusual.
There's no reason to try to smuggle a raw chicken. So I would think there's probably
that sounds unhealthy. Because
yeah, I mean
refrigerated.
You know the guy's not cooking that, right? Exactly. It's going to be spending hours unrefrigerated, so he's not landing and cooking it. Because I'm sure they sell chicken, you know, down the road from wherever he's going.
It's an important chicken. It was the best he's ever seen or tasted. He wanted to bring back home to his family.
I would have guessed like bags of cocaine or something like that. Drug smuggling in there.
That's what you would think.
Right. And dare the TSA agent to stick their hand up there.
All they're saying is that apparently was an international traveler who apparently was trying to take that gun on board somewhere.
And does it know that those machines are X-ray machines? And that it's going to look like a gun inside the dead chicken?
But how many times do you read those stories where they test those TSA screening things and they miss so much?
That's true.
As you like to say, how do we know how many guys have gotten through with dangerous stuff?
Yeah, but putting it in the chicken highlights it.
If you
hide it with a lot of other junk inside a regular suitcase, the guy is bored, right? That's how it gets through because the TSA agent's not paying attention. You look at thousands of bags going by. You can't look at each one. But all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, that's a chicken. Well, now you're going to notice. You're going to see the gun.
So far this year, 700 guns have been found in airport security in Florida. Oh, I'm getting an emergency alert.
So am I.
So am I.
Flash flood warning in the area till around 4:45 p.m. This is a dangerous and life-threatening situation.
Oh, my God.
Do not attempt to travel unless you're fleeing an area subject to flooding or under an evacuation.
Oh, my God. My pants started vibrating.
Should we stop the show and leave?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're four floors up, so that would be a hell of a flood if we got affected.
Let's all go out. Let's have a late lunch.
Be careful when you go to the garage tonight. That could be.
Oh, yeah. Water gushing
washed
in.
Away.
Oh, no.
Oh, all right.
There oh, boy. And now, you know what? Now people are not going to vote.
They should have voted beforehand then. We've known the weather for a long time.
There's 4 hours left, and John's right. This will deter the remaining vote.
Hope it's a lot of Karen Bass people.
What a shame. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken,
KFI AM 640. You're going to be carried off.
Live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.